The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, folks. Your great name. We've been studying the book of Joshua, and we're going to continue that study today as God speaks to our hearts. You know, we have watched as Moses passes off the scene. Joshua has these enormous shoes to fill, and God says, Joshua, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Wherever your foot treads, I'm going to give you that land. You just step out in faith. And we've watched as the children of Israel gathered at the Jordan River. And God said to Joshua and his children, step out into the water, and then I will stop the water. At flood stage, the children of Israel, they accomplish the impossible because of the power of God. They get to Jericho. The walls of Jericho are enormous. And what do they do? How does God take the walls down? Tells them to walk around the city once a day for 6 days, seven times. On the seventh day, shout, blow the trumpets, and the walls came down. The power of God accomplished the impossible. They get a little bit cocky. They get a little bit assured of themselves. And they decide they don't need everybody to go to Ai. And they go up to this podunk city, this little old bitty town, and decide that they'll just take them on with 3,000 soldiers. And the Bible says that the people of Ai came out of the woodwork, chased the Israelites down the mountain, killed more than 30 of them, and Joshua and the children of Israel are sitting in camp, licking their wounds, saying, God, what happened? And they discovered it was because they had not done what God told them to do. God said, you walk with me, you obey my word, and I will get you from where you are to where you need to be. And I will do it my way. I will accomplish it in my way. And so the people repented, and the Bible says they went back to Ai and they defeated that city. And now we find they still have opposition. Five Amorite kings come together. And they say to one another, we've got to forget our differences. We've got to put things behind us, and we've got to cooperate together in order to attack the Israelites, or they're going to drive everybody out of the land of Canaan. And so the Amorites got together. The five armies came together. Joshua goes before God, says, God, what do we do? And God says, go after them. He said, I'll take care of them. And the Bible says that Joshua and his army attacked those five Amorite armies. And the Amorites were running. They were scared. They were confused. The Bible says that God opened the heavens and hailstones fell down on the Amorites. And Joshua and the army were defeating those five Amorite kings and their armies. The problem was the sun was going down. You see, today's time change Sunday. This is not the first time man has messed with time, okay? The Bible says that Joshua prays this audacious, this bold prayer of faith because he knew if the Amorites got away, if the Amorites could steal into the hills, they would bury themselves in, and Joshua knew he would face them again someday, that he was going to have to do battle with him. So he prays this bold prayer. He says, God, would you let the sun stand still? Let us finish the job. And the Bible says that God honored that bold prayer of faith. And Joshua and the Israelites conquered those Amorites, never to have to fight those five kings again. This story encourages me, challenges me, reminds me of how God has worked in my life, the life of my family, the life of my church, over these past years. But this story begs a question. And the question is there anything in your life today that you are trusting God to do that if He doesn't come through, you're sunk? That's the whole story of Joshua and the Israelites. If God didn't come through and stop the Jordan River, they would never have gotten across. There was no way to explain that crossing except God. If God had not torn down the walls of Jericho, there's no way the Israelites could have done that. You can't explain it except by God. There's no way that the sun would stand in the sky still. I don't know how it happened. I've read that scientific explanation that scientists believe there's a day missing in the calendar somewhere. I don't know how it happened, but I believe that it did happen because I believe that God, who can speak the world into existence, can make the earth stop spinning if he wants to. He can stop the sun in the sky if he wants to. He can do whatever, however. He is Almighty God. And the same God that Joshua prayed to is the God that you and I pray to. Is there anything in your life, is there anything in the life of the church that cannot be explained except by the power of God? Anything. And I know we're inclined to look at this and say, well, now, wait a minute, you're talking about Joshua. You know, yeah, we're talking about Joshua who was afraid, Joshua who was discouraged. We're talking about Joshua that the people had not followed 40 years earlier when he said, we can go into this land and conquer this land. He was a man like I'm a man, like some of you are men. He was human just like all of us. He's not some super saint, but he trusts in a powerful God. And we're inclined to say, well, you know, I don't know about that. Because if you see the life of the children of Israel, every time God did the unexplainable, it was as a response of the people stepping out in faith. When God stopped the Jordan River, why did he do it? He did it because they stepped in the water before it ever stopped. When God tore down the walls of Jericho, when did he do it? After the children had walked around in obedience. When God gave them victory at Ai, when did he do it? When they got back right with God and said, God, we're dependent upon your power. You have to do this. We can't do it. And so today, I want to examine that little bold prayer. I want to couple that little prayer with Hebrews chapter 11, which is sometimes called Faith's Hall of Fame. It lists a bunch of the famous people in the Bible and their faith and the elements of their faith. And I want to show you what it takes for us to get from where we are to where God wants us to be, where something is happening in our life that only God can be the cause of. Because, folks, if there's nothing happening in my life that cannot be explained by my power or my talents or my abilities or my resources, my money, if there's nothing in my life that's happening that I can't explain, then my faith is very, very limited. Faith is when I step out and I trust God, knowing that if God does not come through, I'm a sunk duck. So what kind of faith does it take? Well, first of all, it takes this faith that moves forward and believes God, even for things you've never seen. Things you've never seen. How in the world did Joshua know to pray for the sun to stand still? Now, don't get all scientific on me and tell me I know the earth revolves around the sun and all of that. There's a great, great African-American preacher by the name of John Jasper who preached one of the most powerful sermons I've ever read in my life. He was a preacher in the 1800s. He was actually a slave, and his master let him go to preach the gospel because he's such a great preacher. And John Jasper had a sermon called The Sun Do Move. And he would meet with these scientific types that would say, well, you know the sun's, it's stationary. The earth revolves around the sun. And John Jasper would just open his Bible and say, the sun stood still. And for the sun to stand still, it means the sun had to move. So the sun do move. Well, I don't know how God did it, but I believe that he did it because he's the most powerful, almighty, all-sufficient, all-sustaining God that we can imagine. But how did Joshua know to pray? Basically, what he prayed is, God, would you let time stand still? How did he know to do that? He had never seen that before. If you go over to the book of Hebrews, and in Hebrews, the Bible says that Joshua knew who God was. Abraham knew who God was. Paul knows who God is. He has all of these things. But Joshua knows how great God is. He knows that God hung the stars in space. He knows that God created the world in a moment with his spoken word. Scientists call it the Big Bang. I call it God. And this God that Joshua is trusting cannot be confined. He cannot be contained. God will be God. He is almighty, all-powerful, everlasting, all-holy God. And when I get a glimpse of who God is, it changes my faith. You know, you look at this passage and you have to say, well, why do I come to church? Why are you here today? I hope you're not here so you can check it off and say, I went to church on Time Change Sunday. I hope you didn't come to church because you look so good. Because some of you, sorry, don't look at them, all right, some of you. You're the one we're talking about. Quit looking around. Why'd you come to church? You come to church to focus on God. I hope that's why you came. That's why we sing songs of praise. That's why we pray. That's why we listen to the Word of God, because we want to focus on God. Why? Because when we listen to God and we look at God and we focus on God and put our attention on God, everything in our life gets smaller. You know, Joshua was going into the land of promise. There were giants in the land. But Joshua had his eyes on God and how big God was, and those giants became smaller and smaller. We've got giants in our life. It may be physical, it may be relational, it may be financial, but everybody in here has got a giant somewhere. It may be a habit, a hurt, or a hang-up, but we all have giants. And if we will focus on God, then we can trust God for things that we don't understand, that we've never seen before. You know, I look at the scripture passage, and the Bible says that Noah, approached by God, told to build a boat. Look what it says. It was by faith that Noah built the large boat that saved his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things, look at this, things that had never happened before. What had never happened before? It had never rained before the flood. The Bible says that God watered the earth with the dew of the morning moisture. So God comes to Noah and says, Noah, I want you to build a boat. Noah says, okay, God, how big? He says, real big. God, why do you want me to build a boat? Because it's going to rain. Okay, what's rain? Don't worry about it, Noah, just build the boat. Noah spends all of those years building the boat in the scorn and the derision of other people. He had never seen rain. But what does he do? He steps out in faith and does what God said based upon the fact that God said it. So the faith that gets me from where I am to where I need to be is a faith that will move forward even when I don't understand. You know, years and years ago when Mary and I came back to Las Vegas. I grew up here, went to junior high and high school here, and left and was gone for 15 years. And the church search committee, looking for a pastor, called us and said, would you come and talk with us? And we came and we met with the little church at Oakey and Arville, 250 people, sat in Bob Henry's and Mary Ann Henry's living room, and they said, what would be your vision for Shadow Hills if we called you as pastor? I had driven this city. I had seen them building the temple on the other side of the city. And I said, I really believe, because I had conviction in my heart, this is where God wanted us to be. God had placed on my heart to build a church that would reach people and teach them about Jesus. A church that would kick religion out the door. Because religion is ritual and rules and regulations, and God is all about relationship. Religion has done too much damage. We need to learn that Jesus Christ accepts us all. I told them, I see a church where everybody is welcome, where the sermons are practical and the worship is powerful, where we minister to an entire family, where mothers and fathers are encouraged and children have a place to go and students have a place to be and grow strong, where people can find their ministry and accomplish what God wants them to do. Every army needs a base. And I said, I believe that Shadow Hills needs to become a base where we can penetrate this city in a variety of ways and be as strong a presence on the west side of this valley as the temple is over there on the east side of that valley. And they just kind of looked at me like, well, this is going to cost a lot of money. I look back, folks, And I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I had never seen it before. Do you know that the first 20 years I pastored this church, I pastored a bigger church every year than I'd ever pastored in my life? And I want to be the first one to say, because I don't want to be like the people that went up to Ai, God has done it. That as we continued to take steps of faith, God has accomplished it. And he's accomplished things that I have never seen. I want to have that kind of faith. A faith that moves forward and believes God for things I've never seen. But it's got to be a faith also that obeys God even before I understand. A faith that obeys God before I understand. Because this is the way God works. This is the way God operates. See, I don't want, God comes to me and says, Michael, I want you to go to Las Vegas. I want to ask God, okay, well, who's going to pay for the U-Haul? Michael, I want you and your family, that two-year-old and four-year-old boy, I want you to go to Las Vegas. Well, how are we going to sell our house in California? And God doesn't work that way. God says, this is where I want you to be. And I say, okay, God, tell me how it'll end up. And he says, no, take the step. If you'll take the step, I'll open the door. In Hebrews 11, it talks about Abraham. That Abraham, God called him to leave his country, Ur of the Chaldees. That's modern day Iraq. And God says, Abraham, I'm going to do a new thing in your life. I have big plans for you. I'm going to accomplish great things. I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to make you the father of many people. He didn't even have a child. And if I'd been Abraham, I'd have said, well, where's this country going to be? Maybe Abraham asked that. God just said, I'll tell you what, Abraham, you start walking and I'll tell you when we get there. But Abraham did it. Abraham stepped out. That's the way God works. God says, I want you to obey me even if you don't understand me. You just start walking. And that is the way God works in our lives. God calls us to give. I believe in the tithe. Some people don't believe in the tithe. That's okay. That's your business. I believe in the tithe. I believe God says, you give me 10% and I'll help you live off 90% better than you'd live off of 100%. I'm just grateful God didn't say, give me 90% and live off 10%. But I believe in tithing. And I look at Mary and I and our lives and our ministry. There have been times we didn't know where tomorrow's meal was going to come from. But my wife has kept us faithful. Her faith is bigger than mine. And she has kept us faithful, and God has always provided. People say, well, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. You see what God says about obeying him. Obey me, and then. Well, when I get enough money, then I'll do it. No, you won't. If you don't do it now, you won't do it then. And so God says, before you understand it all, before you comprehend it all, here's what you believe, that I want what's best for you. And knowing that I want what's best for you, you can follow me and trust me, even if you don't understand it. If I say slow down, slow down. If I say stop, stop. If God says take that step of faith, take that step of faith, even if you don't understand. Here's what you need to understand. It is the God of the universe who is giving you direction and walking with you, and where God guides, God provides. That's audacious faith. But it's the third thing, the faith to give back to God when you don't have it. The faith to give back to God when you don't have it. God uses finances, and this is not a sermon on finance. We've already had the offering. I'm not trying to get more money. But God uses our finances to test us more than anything else, because it's the one thing we're inclined to trust more than him. And you can give by faith, or you can give by fear. Giving by fear is what most people do. And when I say giving by fear, what I mean is they're afraid if they give by faith that God will ask them to give more than they can afford, and now they won't be able to pay their bills. That's giving by fear. I put a little bit in the offering plate because I'm afraid if I don't keep hold of my resources that I won't get what I want or need. God says no. In fact, you look at the scripture passage, the Bible says that Jesus told us, give and you'll receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, making room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The more you, or the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Jesus said what? Give first, and then you receive back. You follow God, and you do what God tells you to do, He gets involved in your finances. You know, think about the ministries of this church. I'll go back to the one I just mentioned, the serving our kids, giving 750 meals. Each sack has 10 items in it. I don't know what it cost. But I know a group of people in our church several years ago came and said, listen, we've got 18,000 homeless children in Las Vegas that get school breakfast and school lunch 5 days a week. But when they leave school on Friday, they don't have the promise of a meal for Saturday and Sunday. Can we help? We prayed about it. We felt like God was guiding us to do that. We didn't figure out how much every item cost. We didn't figure out, I still to this day do not know how much it costs for all of the 10 items in that sack. But what I do know is that for 4 or 5 years, every Friday, volunteers from Shadow Hills have gone to 7 schools and are feeding 750 of those 18,000 children. And those children may not ever enter the doors of this church, but they know that Shadow Hills Church is making something possible for them to have on the weekend. But we didn't ask, can we get the money ahead of time? We just said, yes, we're committed to the ministry, and God has provided. You have provided. Fall Festival. You know, I met with Bob Beers, who's the city councilman, this Tuesday of the last week. Because city council has to give approval for the building that we're going to build. And I don't like meeting with city council because the last time I met with city council, I was embarrassed. I was yelled at. It was demeaning. I had a councilman shout at me that he would rather be building a bar than be building a church. And I was humiliated. So I met Councilman Beers at Starbucks for coffee. That's a lot better than meeting down to city council. And he talked about parking. And I said, well, we don't really have a parking problem. He said, well, I got some complaints around October. If you're our guest, we do Fall Festival, and we do it right here on campus, and it is free. We gave away hundreds upon hundreds of hot dogs, cotton candy, just all kinds. We gave away over 6,000 cups of lemonade and water and all this stuff. They were literally parked all the way up Vegas Drive, down the road to the park, the tennis park over there. It was, and I just kind of bowed my head and I said, well, yeah, that was a problem. He said, what did you guys do? And I said, Councilman, we provided a safe place for over 6,000 people to come and have candy, and our church gave away $20,000 worth of candy free to your community. And he said, well, you know, it's only 3 hours one time a year. I guess we'd let that one go. I thought, well, good. We didn't ask God about that. It just kept going and going and going. We can't get the explanation. We go ahead and make the commitment ahead of time. You give back to God when you don't have it. And then the fourth thing, you thank God before you receive it. Faith is the boldness to thank God ahead of time. Faith is thanking God in advance. Isaac, he had two boys, Jacob and Esau. They were ornery boys. One of them stole the other one's birthright. They lied. They cheated each other. Lied to their mama and daddy. But you know what Isaac did? The Bible says that Isaac thanked God in advance for what he was going to do in the life of his kids. Even though right then at that time, Jacob and Esau were very immature, fighting with each other, looked like they weren't going to make anything out of themselves. But Isaac saw what God had for them, and he thanked God ahead of time. In the middle of your problems, you thank God because it opens the pathway for blessing. When you gripe and grumble, you close the pathway. Faith that gets you from where you are to where God wants you to be, where God's going to do something that nobody can explain, is a faith that thanks Him before you ever get anything. And then lastly, it's the faith to trust God no matter what happens. The audacity to trust God no matter what happens. I believe God hears every prayer, and I believe He answers every prayer. I don't believe He answers every prayer the way I want Him to. Sometimes He says yes immediately. Sometimes He says no, not right now. Sometimes He says no, not ever. But because He is God and I'm not, and He wants the best for me, I'm going to accept His answer no matter what happens. If you read Hebrews 11, it says, and it's talking about these saints, these saints that were faithful to God. It says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Abraham, he never got to go into the promised land. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land, but they stayed faithful. No matter what the outcome, you read Hebrews 11, it talks about some of them being killed. It talks about some of them being beaten. It talks about the horrible things that happened to these believers, but they stayed by the stuff. They stayed faithful. The heroes of our faith had dreams and they prayed, but they didn't get it in their lifetime. They kept trusting God. Some of you, you're probably in the valley right now. Probably feel like throwing in the towel. You're in a perfect place for God to do a miracle because you're at the end of your rope and you know that you can't do it, but God can. He's willing to work in your life. Maybe a relational giant, maybe a financial giant, a health giant, I don't know what it is, but God's promises are greater than that giant. The Bible in the book of Habakkuk says, these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely the time approaches when the vision is fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. It will not be overdue a single day. God says, I'm going to come through for you, but I'm asking you to take the step of faith first. Where do you need to do that? What's the giant in your life that you need to step out and trust God, knowing that if God doesn't come through, it's going to be a mess? That's where faith is strengthened. We can't contain God. We can't control God. But we can trust God. And that is your choice. I want you to stay standing for a second. Don't run off. I want to show you how God's carrying this out in the life of our church. Greg and Laura, Ben and Sarah, come down here and stand for a second. A couple of years ago, a church that, in fact, it's a church that made a difference in my life when I was in high school here, came to us and said, we can't keep the doors open anymore. They're located downtown on St. Louis. If the landmark fell, or stratosphere fell, landmark did fall. If the stratosphere fell, it would almost fall in the parking lot down there in the naked city. They came to us. They said, we only have 8 people. We can't keep the buildings. We can't keep it up. Will you take it? And we said, yes. It's one of those things, we took a step of faith because we didn't know how it was going to work out. We didn't know what was going to happen, but we said, yes, we're going to do this. And so for a couple of years, we've been planning and praying for how to make this campus work. It's not a new church. It's Shadow Hills in another location. And it's downtown ministering in an area that's unique for a couple of reasons. Number one, the homeless down there are more than anywhere else in our valley. Number two, the downtown redevelopment is changing that whole area. And God has given us an opportunity to let our light shine down there. Greg and Ben are going to be the campus pastors. Greg will be the teaching pastor. He's going to stay on string with what we're doing here. Ben is going to be worship. Laura and Greg, Ben and Sarah are going to let God use them to step out and accomplish what we can't do in this corner. We're in Summerlin. We can't do that down there. So because we're already 4 churches, we have Saturday night church, we had church earlier, we're having church now, and we're going to have church when you leave. We're already 4 churches. This is just a 5th campus. And they are going to serve God there. a bunch of our folks are going to go too. In fact, if you're one of the people that's going down to the hills downtown, why don't you come down here and stand with Greg and Laura and Ben and Sarah. And here's what we want to do this morning on our way out. It's our closing prayer. I want a bunch of you just to come and surround them, and let's commission them and ask God to use them in a mighty way, because He is a mighty God. Just now, God can hear our prayers anywhere. If you don't want to come, it's okay. But bunches of you need to come and just say, hey, we're going to surround them, we're going to pray for them, and we're going to send them forth. You know, in the Bible, in the early church, when Paul and Barnabas were sent out, the church, they commissioned them, they prayed for them, they laid hands on them and said, go. And so God has given us this tremendous opportunity. In fact, I challenge you, drive down there. It's been repainted, been remodeled, and God's provided the resources. So we send all of these folks to be the light that the vision came 30 years ago, to say we want to be that on this side of town and downtown that shows Jesus risen and conquering the grave. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Greg and Laura, for Ben and Sarah. Thank you for this church that wanted to die with dignity and did not want the history to be wiped out. They wanted to preserve a location where Jesus could be lifted up. And for all of these folks that are changing their locale, not changing church, just changing their locale, God, I pray you would bless them and protect them. And I pray you would use them to lift up Jesus, that he might draw people to himself, and that this would be one of those mighty works that is unexplainable in the way that you are ministering to lives there. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thanks for being here. Come and say hi to the folks down here. Give them a hand. That's a good thing, all right?
This has been a production of Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.